Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point. Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? Guess what is coming up on February 10th, 2022? Rhino X, the second time we've had the event, the most exclusive home services event of the year. Our keynote speakers are industry legends. There's five of them. Mr. Ken Goodrich, CEO of Gettle. Mr. Ken Haynes, CEO of Wrench Group. Leland Smith from Service Champions. Those three are coming back, but we have a couple additions. Mr. Dave Geiger, the beast from the Northeast, is coming in from Horizon. And also Mr. Terry Nicholson from Praxis S10. It is going to be a lineup like no other. The best of the best in the same room. Now stay tuned because we're only allowing 50 guests at this event and registration will open out sometime in the middle of this month. So you got to pay attention to the page. But we're also going to have two headline speakers to be announced later. One during the day, one during the night. Now enjoy this podcast with my man Ken Goodrich, part four of the Seven Centers of Management Attention. Enjoy.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what is up, To The Point listeners? It is your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, along with my man, Mr. Tall Paul, who's rocking the mustache today. My co-host, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing well. I got to admit, man, this mustache is, it's about 3 or 4 days old, and I don't know if it will make it the full 30 days, but I'm going to do my darndest to raise awareness for men's health, which coincides with our guest today, Ken, who's my partner in crime and getting people to get moving. Get HVAC guys moving and losing weight and getting healthy. So it's a big month.
I must ask you a question.
See what I did there?
See what I did there?
Yeah. Pretty good. How's it look, by the way, the mustache?
Awful.
Hey, let me throw that on. The whole, like I have been a proud, clean-shaven guy all my life. Now I got this old man beard.
Been rocking the beard.
And, I'm uncomfortable with it, but, my wife, likes it.
Yeah.
So you keep it.
She's got new man. George Clooney-ish, I guess. What she says. But anyway, I feel kind of dirty with it. I feel dirty with a beard. How do you feel with your mustache?
Well, he for sure has to feel dirty.
The thing I'm struggling with the most is that my wife, who seems to be up until this point a pretty sensible person with good taste, she likes it. And that part is weird for me. I'm like, what happened to you in your childhood that you like the, like, someone who with this dirty mustache on their face, like, get out of here. Go get some therapy.
Well, come I respect on. Your decision for growing the mustache and keeping it.
Thank you.
I cannot wait to see what this thing looks like as we go through the month of November. It's going to be good.
Probably going to look a lot like it does now.
Well, I'll just keep mine just for the sake of November.
So that's your excuse. Yours actually looks good. That Paul's mustache does not look good. Sorry.
No.
Corey, but Paul, listen. Yeah, it's going to be brutal. Anyhow,
it's
going to be Danny Tanner with a mustache.
That's right.
What's it going to look like? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get into it now. So listen, we got my man Ken Goodrich back on the episode today.
KG.
CEO of Gettle. Also author of the E-Myth HVAC Contractor. And he is back for part four, the final series of our Seven Centers of Management Attention. We've been anxiously awaiting to get you in here to get this thing done. So even though it is November 3rd, and we're just now recording this, we're posting it next week. So if you missed the first three, part one was episode number 81 on leadership and management. Part two was episode number 85 on money and marketing. And part three was episode number 89 on lead generation and lead conversion, which we did live at Service World Expo, TP.
That was fun.
Good times. So this is part four, and that is client fulfillment. You ready to get into part four on client fulfillment? I heard that's a pretty important part of all this.
It's a big part. Let me say one last thing on the other deal.
Right, thank you. I wasn't done yet. Yeah, we're not going there yet.
I haven't decided yet what the new plan is, but I always try to beat the last plan. So it's got to be at least 999, you know, a 999
right.
days, right? And then the next deal's got to include a B, right?
Basketball.
That's the bar. So before we jump into the last center of management attention, what does the ghettoization of North America look like from here on out?
And is it just North America?
I haven't thought really that much further. I thought, you know, as a kind of, you know, I try to put really big goals out there and figure like, well, if I get halfway there, I'm doing pretty good. That's how I do it. But, right. So we have a plan. Our initial plan is we want to, you know, cover the Sun Belt, right? It's a lot easier to do business, air conditioning business, where it's hot. I'd recommend everybody consider that. Well, hot, cold, humid, right? But, so we want to carry that Sun Belt out first. And then I don't know from there. Right now, my mission is coast to coast, fill in all the major markets on the bottom of the U.S., you know, all the way up through Florida. I don't know about the other parts of the world. Those are foreign countries to me because I'm out here in the, you know, where
the desert.
I'm out here where the enlightened people.
Hey, shout out to all my northern market 90% gas furnace people. I see you. I know how important you are. And I know how good and profitable that business is. So don't let those Sun Belt references scare you.
I don't know what I don't know. So I could be missing the whole mark here, but you know, I do what I do.
You know, Australia has a lot of similarities in some areas. I'm just throwing it out there.
And we're
putting it out there. Just putting it out there. Okay, hey, can I move forward now, gentlemen?
Yes, congratulations, Ken. We're cheering for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Excited. And it's cool if you want to extend me some sort of like offer, you know, be a part of that. I really appreciate that. Just throwing it out there on the air. No? Okay. All right, your silence is very reassuring. Okay, part four. We're good?
Hey, listen, I got to...
Oh, boy.
I got to buy myself a better class of friends then, if that's what it takes.
You had... more fun than you've had in a long time last night.
That is true.
Exactly. I could tell. Okay. Part four, seven centers of management attention, client fulfillment. KG, what does client fulfillment even actually mean?
So
this is like the simplest question.
You know, it's a broad term that Michael Gerber created when he wrote the book, The E-Myth, but it's really about delivering what you promised the customer, right? The work, delivering the work, fulfill the contract, fulfill the obligation. And so for what we do, for the work that we do, it's install the system, do the repair, put in the ducts, put in the water heater, you know, it's doing the work.
Question for you. Would you say that, like, even just as simple as the CSR answering the phone be considered client fulfillment? Because think about it, if a customer is calling in trying to do business, that person's answering the phone, they're still trying to fulfill their job of trying to get that customer in and booked. Would you put that into it, or are you just talking like the technical side of it?
No, I mean, I think that's part of it, and you tie all these systems together. You know, I kind of look at our customer experience people, or CSRs, as a lead gen, you know.
Got it.
But once the job has been booked, then the CSRs kind of flip into the client fulfillment side of it. And so when you look at your systems – there's going to be positions that are involved in various systems, not just their one type. You follow me?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
for instance, accounting is involved in every system.
Yep. Yeah. So I was just trying to figure out, like, for my sake and for the listener's sake, on where does that start? Where does, in your opinion, where does client fulfillment start in the process? And it sounds like it starts at once it's booked.
Once it's sold, once it's converted to a sale.
Got it.
That's when client fulfillment.
So we're past book, we're in the home, it's sold, client fulfillment starts.
Because you're incredibly vulnerable at that moment as well, right? The customer has heard the message, they've heard the story, they've invited you into their home. Who you send in and how they install something affects your brand in a very big way. So is client fulfillment the most important of the seven centers, or where does it rank among the other functional areas?
So I don't know that it's necessarily the most important, but it is very, very important because it's what the customer receives, right? Mm-hmm. You can't deliver that without the other pieces and parts of it. So I don't want to diminish the other pieces and parts, but it's the delivering of the work, the product that the customer receives, right? And so, you know, the evolution of most, like I came from the HVAC side. When I first started in business, I fancied myself as an expert technician, probably what I see most other guys do. Smaller guys, they're really into the work, right? They're really into the quality of the work, their particular unique ways they do things to put their stamp on it. They're very into that, right? And that gets them a little lift, right? That gets them some repeat business and referrals, and that gets the ball rolling. Well, as they get a little bit bigger, they start to dilute those efforts by hiring other people and saying, go do the work and do it like I wanted you to do it. But there might not be a system to do that. So as they continue to grow, their work product begins to decline. Their unique offering begins to get watered down by the lack of skill, training, and direction to their people. You follow me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that I look at client fulfillment in a couple different ways, but one being probably more specifically with newer companies who are relying heavily on word of mouth referral business. I would say client fulfillment is the last thing that they leave an impression on that customer to want to give them more referral, business or to send them. So to me, it seems like, I know this is almost like the chicken and the egg, analogy, but you got to get that right to get a referral. But the whole first part of the seven centers is you got to get the opportunity to even get it right. So that's why I'm saying, it makes me think of like the chicken and the egg. But at the end of the day, to protect your brand, which we know is one of the most important things in having your business be extremely successful, is having solid brand equity. You got to do exactly what you say you're going to do, and you got to make the customer feel good about it.
Yeah, and think of it like this. You got seven centers of management attention. Six of them all support client fulfillment. That's their job, is to support what you deliver to the customer profitably, right? Mm-hmm.
So you were just talking about technicians and trying to teach them your way. Obviously, all that stuff starts to involve where you're not specifically teaching somebody how to do it your way. I'm talking about you specifically, but as your business grows, you put a process in place for technician training and things like that. But you don't just hire like the best guys and let them do what they do, or do you hire the best guys and let them do what they do with a little direction on how to getalize the process? Like, how does that work? Do you just you going after the top talent and letting them do their thing, or just trying to bring in, and does that change as the business continues to grow? Like, what's the process there?
Well, I've done every stupid fucking thing you can do in business. So yes, I've done that. Yeah, I have. Yeah, did that.
Okay. So what's the best?
Ken's a little spicier after this deal went down. You notice that, Chris?
Yeah. I saw it last night. That's why I'm saying.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess you get started out, you get in business, you're the salesman, you're the installer, then you're the supervisor, and you're watching all the work, right? And you're making sure it's going in perfect. It's your personal brand. You're connected. You got a relationship with the customer. It's perfect. Then as you continue to grow, that gets watered down some. So how do you duplicate yourself? So if I was starting out again, I would have understood this, and I would have said, okay, I'm going to start installing systems, maybe with me and my helper, me and my right-hand guy, and we're going to start deciding how our brand's going to do it. How do we execute it from the time we pull up in the front of the house? Which door do we go to first? What do we pull out first? Where do we put it? What do we do? And start to document that and improving that process until you get it down, to the point you start timing it. And what is the best way? Do I start in the outside unit? Do I start in the inside unit. Do I do this? Do I do that? Or you do this first, I do that. You do this first, I'll go outside, do that. You follow what I'm saying? So, you know, get the system down. This is our system for installing, and to the level that you can get it to the highest degree of detail and be able to train that is the degree of success that you'll have. And so I'd start out and I'd put my system together, even it was just checklists, right? Another thing that I recommend sometimes is if you're just starting out in business, the first thing you should do is go, if you're in air conditioning, for instance, go build some systems in a warehouse your way, put your checklist together, and nobody goes to a job ever until they're trained to do it your way. Same with water heaters or whatever else that you're doing, so that when you sell something, you have a very, very high degree of confidence that what you promise the customer is going to get delivered. There's not going to be any challenge in the future. They're going to be happy. They're going to refer you. They're going to be long-term customers and, perpetuate the machine. There's nothing worse than having a Class C installation going on in air conditioning, for instance, and go back and back and back and having to spin your wheels. So that's what you're trying to do. And think of it like I use McDonald's as analogy a lot because they're so specific, right? It's not a custom restaurant.
Right.
And, you know, if you go to apply, I'm assuming, I've never applied to McDonald's. I hope I never have to.
I think you're probably safe.
If you apply to McDonald's, they don't say, well, you used to work at Ruth Chris. You're probably a great cook. Come on back here, right? Like we would do. We'd say, oh, you used to work at Gettle. So you must be a great installer. Go install my system. See you later. Get in my van. You know, that's the nonsense that we do. Rather than, okay, here's our recipe. Here's how we do it. You're going to run this playbook for 3 days. When you can do it exactly this way, then I'm going to send you out to my customers. And I got to tell you guys, don't miss this spot. Don't miss this. It's such a big, you get this out of your way. This is something you do in the very, very beginning of building your business. Get it out of the way, get it off your back, and then you can focus on duplicating and scaling your business because you know every single time you make a sale, it's going in right. You don't have to worry about that. And the customers are happy. You get the review. You know, you build the base, the whole thing.
Yes. Go ahead, Paul.
You know, I was thinking about this, Ken. You know, anytime someone posts a picture of an installation in any of the groups in Facebook or anywhere on the internet, like people rip it apart, right? So you've mentioned a couple times like your way. Can you give us some examples about what your way looks like that our listeners can maybe be creative and think like, oh, I've never thought of really breaking it down, boiling it down to the number of pickles on the burger. So give us some examples. But while you think of that, I also want you to answer this question. Think about it. Is the perfect installation a little bit of art, a little bit of science, more art, more science? What does the perfect Gettle installation look like?
Well, it's both art and science. I mean, you know, we use all the latest diagnostic tools to make sure that we commission the unit, the system properly, right? And we're delivering a system that runs at factory specifications. Okay, that's our goal. You know, I've certainly done it wrong before where we just go put it in and hope for the best. But today we've got it to that level where we commission the system when we're done. It's very important to me, and this is something my dad instilled in me, that it is art. You know, it has to be a piece of art. And so, you know, we're cognizant about things like making sure that the screws that we put in are properly spaced, you know, like a race car. I know you're a race car guy, right? You know, everything looks, got to look.
But it's mechanically sound.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, we make sure that they mask off where they're going to put some mastic, right, to seal for leaks so that the mastic isn't all gooped on. It's nice straight lines, things like that. Everything's level, square. All the wires are running straight. Pipes are running, level. Yeah. In our particular case, we build our own rails and pans and everything that the unit sits in, and because we want our proprietary system. Think about this. Make your own proprietary method of installation and sell that to your customer and show them why that's better. And I started this back, gosh, in the 90s when there was a software called PageMaker. It came out and I would draw single line drawings of the system and say, this is what our, here's all the attributes that our system includes and here's why we're different. And I could lay that in front of the customer and show them. And it really made a big difference. But then you make sure that your team is actually going to do that. And by the way, I got to tell you, I hear all this culture talk, culture. And it's a part of business. You got to have it. But having your own standards and a high level of standards on how you do things, and you're able to point to this to your people, is really a culture builder.
Right.
We're better. And here's why. We do these things. Nobody else does. One of the things that we do is, you know, my dad, when I was a kid, he would say, we'd go to a service call. He would say, okay, we're done. I want you to put all the panels back on and find every hole that there was a screw not in from the last guy and put a screw in, right? And so I always had a box of screws, and I, that's part of my job, right? And so I tell our copywriter for a radio, and he writes an ad about why we do that at Gettle, and we still do that. And so then I went and had some screws made that were powder coated red.
Right.
And then the guys install those screws, take a picture, show the customer. Now, what a very small gesture for the customer, but huge impact. I mean, if the customer knows that you care to the level of putting in a screw and marking it that you did that and sharing it with them, it's a huge value builder and credibility builder. So really, when you install your systems, you have your methodology. This is a, I'm just making up a name. This is a South Coast system, and here's what our brand looks like installed. You get me?
I do. So, so if I had to,
my wife really, when I say you get me, you follow me, because I feel like sometimes I talk so fast, or I talk a lot and she doesn't get it. I go, do you get me? And it really pisses her off. Like she thinks I'm acting like she was dumb.
No, I don't take it that way.
So I just check in.
Are you trying to tell me you're talking to me like I'm Wendy?
No, but I just want to know. Like I'm thinking of, she thinks that. I'm just wondering if you think that.
I don't think
I just want to, are you with me? Like,
no, actually it's a good
indicator. Do I need to explain myself?
No, you do not. It's actually a good indicator to let me know you're done. So okay. I can move on.
All
so,
right.
So it works out really well.
Yeah. Transition.
Transition. Yeah, so what I wanted to ask is to simplify this. Like you've certainly had time to build that whole process out and the things you've done. Now, when you're with your quick question before I go on, when you were doing this with your dad when you were a kid, this is going to sound silly, but I got a point. Were the screws that you were putting in the same screws that were already in the system? So were they like two different screws, or was it like the same so it was uniform? Like was it? Do you even remember that? The point I'm getting at is, like, did you just put a screw in regardless that didn't look like the others?
No, well, it's going to not look like the others because you can't ever get the same screw as the manufacturer. Very similar, but we had a very distinct screw that was a self-tapping screw. It was a little bigger, so it would, you know, fit in the worn-out holes, things like that. So you could tell that that was different, but it looked like the right thing to do.
Got
you
it.
Follow me?
Yeah, so I'm just curious because we talked about it being art and science, you know, and you want to look good, but also let that customer know that you went the extra mile by putting in the missing screw. Was there something that like clearly identified it? Like the red screw clearly stands out. And I remember you told me that, I think the very first time I met you, that you have the red screw. I feel like you brought me one. Maybe you brought me one for the second podcast. I can't remember.
You know, and by the way, I've patented the red screws. You can't use the red screws, but.
But orange on the other hand.
But. Customers call us and say, if you find it, you know, it's part of our marketing program. So I get the red screws if I need one. They ask that question.
People ask for they ask for a red screw.
Here's the essence of this whole thing. They know that you have attention to detail and they have a higher probability of coming out of this transaction with a great product and happy, right?
Got it.
And so that's really what you're trying to relay to the customer. By the way, you know, as you get your process down, think of it like a professional sports team, and they are practicing a play over and over and over till they just got it into their muscle memory and their DNA. You get your team that way, and then you start timing them on how fast and efficient they can get a job done perfectly, that kind of stuff. Make it a game, if you will, reward them, you know, tie the whole thing together. But listen, just going out and growing and saying, I got to hire some installers and putting any Pulse in a truck and hoping for the best is a bad plan.
So don't just find randoms. And
I tell you, that's what most of us do.
If I'm listening to this and I've got three or four install crews and they're good guys and they've turned over a little bit and we've kind of done everything in house and they kind of do it their own way. It's kind of the Wild West. How do you wrangle that in? How do you teach the system and how do you keep people from improvising?
Okay. So, when I bought Gettle 2013, that's the condition of which I found. Had some good installers. They all did it a little bit differently. So I brought them together, made them part of the solution in that, okay, we got to have our own way. I explained all the reasons that I did earlier here, why we have to do it this way. What's the best way? We are the best. We are artists. We are scientific artists, to your point. And, you know, they helped build the system. So we built the systems up, and then we took pictures of every view. We said, okay, now we're going to go to market, and our quality control at first was you take these, I don't know how many were there, started with 7 pictures. It's gone up to like 25, I think. But you go to these 7 pictures, these got to be taken, approved by operations and before you leave, including, you know, the pressure, static pressure, all that stuff. And we started there. And as that went on, and I was personally involved, I would look at the pictures. And as long as I said, you know, I would tell them, hey, go back tomorrow and take your fingerprints off the wall where the thermostat was, you know.
Got it.
Once I got that kind of going and they kind of figured it all out, then I started saying, you know, call them artists or beautiful work. And it would be kind of a copy to all email. And, you know, the level of pride in the install department just shot through the roof, right? They're beaming. They became the fighter pilots of our company, and rightfully so, because they make us all the money, right? The guys who install the work, right? Yep. And so that's how I got it there. And then I created books of all these pictures with all the explanations. And then I got an app called iAuditor, and I put those pictures in iAuditor, and then they have to take the pictures on every, you know, the app says, okay, take this picture first, this one second, and gives you an example at what it should look like, right? And then it puts a report together, management checks it before they leave, and that's how it went. I've evolved to something newer now, but that's, you know, that's how I got going.
Interesting.
So you're welcome, iAuditor.
Yeah,
you're
right.
You're very welcome for that.
Beep, auditor. Beep, auditor. quick question just about the picture thing made me think of something else, because you're essentially using it for internal to make sure everything is, like, well, I guess to audit it internally. Did you ever take pictures of something and then show them to the customer to also, like, share, like, hey, this is what I'm about to work on, this is why, and here, take a look? Do you remember who it was that said that they were using that? Oh, I know who it was. Another local guy here in Phoenix would take pictures of stuff and then go out and use it as a tool to show the homeowner. But also, they did the same thing to try and audit the performance of the technicians too. Well, but they were using it for both. Mm-hmm. So they're using it as part of, like, the sales system to say, hey, Mrs. Jones, look, like, this here is what we're going to fix and this is why. So it wasn't just them saying it. It was them showing a picture of it.
Yeah, we use the tools. Obviously, Service Titan has that feature as well. But, yeah, be careful with that, because sometimes unscrupulous sales or text guys will use the picture from, you know, the worst system they ever saw. I've seen that before. So you got to tighten that up some, but, you know, you got to have some oversight on that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's a very valuable tool. And I got to tell you, when you're after a job, you're done with a job, and you send the customer, like, iAuditor has a report function. It has all the report. It looks like a nice report. Mm-hmm. You send that to the customer, or even you just send the pictures through Titan, which is a typical routine. we get such high marks from our customers for doing that. They just feel like, wow, these guys really went over and above, and I got a great system. It just gives them a level of confidence.
Quick question. So I want this for our newest listeners that are maybe just starting to get into business or considering getting into business, or that are still even just a few, like a year or so in, like really, really new, because we have quite a few that listen to this, for advice from guys like you to help move their business forward quicker, more efficient, more process driven. If you had to give the basic, like key elements of a client fulfillment system, I'm talking like the basics, what would that be? Here's what I envisioned when you said you were out and actually doing it yourself, and like as you're learning things while you're on a site, I envision you flipping your notepad and like literally writing down like lines with check boxes, so you kind of had like some sort of a system. I envision that's how you were doing it early on.
Yeah.
So the basics of that, for those listening, we're just trying to get something in place with the bare minimum. Like, what would those key elements be?
Well, just like you said, so you got the barest element is a checklist. Okay. Step 1 through 76, right? Here's how you put in an air conditioner here. Here's how you put in a water heater here. Here's
and
how you do it.
It sucks to do, but you got to do it.
You have to do it. I mean, you know, listen, here's what I see in the business today. When I first started the business, like the trades, it was really about the work and the trade, all the client fulfillment side of everything. It was really about the work, you know, companies were judged on their ability to do the work, not their size, growth, you know, all, you know, marketing message, all that stuff. And as the business continued to evolve and more business-minded people started getting into it, they started to add the other pieces, the marketing messages and growth strategies and things like that. So, but when I started, it was the work was more important, and actually more important than I think it is today in the hearts and minds of the trade, right? So, but I do believe you got to have both. You have to have a passion for what you're doing, a true passion for the work, the client fulfillment side, what you're delivering to the customer. It has to be unique. It has to be best. I mean, think Apple. I mean, they went at this as, you know, what is going to be the most attractive, easy to use, most powerful device that we can put in customers' hands that they don't ever have to understand the back end of what's going on behind it, but it's just a few clicks to just revolutionize their life, right? And so you got to think in those terms. I see a lot of companies in our space now that are just going out and, you know, it's all about sales and marketing, hit sales, and they're creating a wake of hell, you know, behind them with poor installations and poor customer service just messes that they're going to hit a wall. You know, you got to have the best product. At the end of the day, you got to have the best product to win.
So from a macro level, Ken, as I know you are a chess player and you're thinking big picture, does that play well for your opportunity or your strategy for ghettoizing the country? Is the wave of and the rise of young sales and marketing gurus who are out there putting equipment in all throughout the country, is this part of your plan? Does this help you, or how does that play into the industry as a whole?
So there's lots of reasons why I went and invested in Buck Gettle. The main one of the key reasons is Gettle invented it. They invented the residential air conditioner, right? You know, I didn't know if you know this, but Phoenix, Arizona used to be kind of the Silicon Valley of air conditioning, and it was started by the Gettle brothers. So their technology and their innovations are, you know, kind of what set us all in the course that we're in today. You know, people talk about all this sales and marketing stuff that goes on, and you see all this Facebook stuff. I got pictures of Gettle trucks in the early 1970s with, I don't know, 27 sales guys with gold coats on and ties with air conditioners that are mounted on their back of their truck that they would pull up to customers' houses, take them out to the front porch, show them the air conditioner. I'm like, these guys invented the whole process, right? Mm-hmm. So we grabbed onto that, the heritage, right? And so we started marketing the heritage. Our brand is about the heritage, the innovation, the quality of work, our client fulfillment systems, our attention to detail. We call ourselves perfectionists, all that stuff. And I will say, to answer your question, long way around the horn, but to answer your question, that's been our big lift. Is I think that customers are tired of the hype. They just want someone that's for real for once, right? And they don't mind paying for that quality.
Yeah.
So that's, you start with that. You start with, I'm going to make this sandwich, and it's going to be a great sandwich, and everybody wants to eat it. It's called a Big Mac, and it's going to have these special things. It's only my way and my special sauce, and I can't tell anybody how I'm going to make it, and blah, blah, blah. And people are going to be lined up just to buy this one thing. Look at it like that, right? Yep. This is my system. And this is why it's better, and this is why it looks perfect, and I'm why the customer needs to have mine,
and genuinely believe it.
Yeah,
and make sure you believe it. Make sure
that gets delivered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you do have to champion your own, even as you grow with management, you do have to continue to champion whatever your core values are over and over, and to make sure everybody's kind of marching to the beat of the same drum. But you got to be proud of your work. I mean. Wow, sweet. That's like probably the key ingredient to client fulfillment, right, too, is just making sure that you actually are proud of that job that you're done and you feel like you actually did a really good job, the best job that you possibly could.
By the way, let me throw you how I got to this point. Now, you know, I've done it the other way. I've done it the wrong way a lot of times. I've done it the other way. But when I bought Gettle.
Today you do it the right way, not the
easy way, right? So when I bought Gettle, my manager said, I want to put a separate warranty department together because we have a lot of warranty calls, and I think I need 8 guys. I'm like, what are you talking about? 8 guys to do warranty? He goes, well, we have all this warranty work from the past. I go, well, why don't we just go find out what it is and fix it? So we dig into it, and it was just poor installations from the past. They didn't have the system, right? So I went back, and we contacted all installations for the last 3 years. And the ones that would allow us, we did an extra quality control inspection, and I reinstalled 640 systems. Wow. I went and sent guys out when I first bought Gettle, take pictures, and I personally selected reinstall this one, reinstall this one, reinstall this one, just to get that wave of shit off my back, right? There, you know, because it's, I can't afford to have 8 guys running around fixing the old stuff, right? So we went and made the investment, fix all that stuff, got it off our back, and that's how we created our client fulfillment system, our quality control system, our total installation system.
640?
Systems.
Systems. Good
grief. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you wonder what was going on beforehand? You had to go out on 640 systems?
Well, maybe you know that, what? When the guy told me that one of the guys that worked there, he said before I bought it, he said that he was having trouble finding installers. So he was a motorcycle guy. So he found out that motorcycle mechanics made good installers. I'm like, well, why? Why do they make good installers? He didn't have a good answer for me. I'm like, well, because there's a blower that goes around, and the motorcycle's wheel go around. Like, why is that good? But they weren't good installers. So anyway,
so it turns out they weren't.
It turns out that there's not a lot of connection between motorcycles and air conditioners in terms of installing them.
You debunked it.
Yeah. Yeah, it cost me over $1 million.
Or did it?
Good point.
Go ahead, TP.
Delayed.
I see that so mustache.
Let's talk about kind of structure and teaching and coaching and getting everyone on the same ship as it relates to installations, client fulfillment. Do you do this through creating a school? Do you have like, where does the schooling element come in? Do you have to have some sort of department like that? Who are the people you can outsource this stuff to? Can you?
All the above. You don't have to have a school. I just think that you need to understand if you're going to be in business, your business is a school for your employees. So first and foremost, you got to make sure that either you have in-house or a resource to get them trained on specific things that you need them to do and how you want them to do them, or, it's just impossible. You put yourself in an impossible situation to try to run a business when you're trying to conduct business with people that don't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, we went out and made the investment to put a school in place. Prior to that, what I did was I went out and found some schools, and I first just made sure the curriculum they had kind of aligned with mine. So when we hired students from there, the transition with our team would be easier. Then I got to the point where I said, okay, I paid a school to say, okay, we're going to have these extra classes, but I just want you to teach the getaway after they get through this, teach the getaway on these, whatever, 9 things, right? Mm-hmm. And we get them out of that, and we'd start there, and we'd start holding them accountable, and the core team would, work with them through their indoctrination process. So I've done it that way as well. There's all kinds of creative ways that you can do this without having to go and create your own school, but you got to have a key focus. Like, if I'm going to hire an employee, how am I going to get them trained? How am I going to get them trained my way before I put them in front of my customer and take a risk of losing or upsetting the customer, right? So there's lots of schools in all kinds of topics, from the management side, from the clerical side, from the accounting side. There's all kinds of resources. I don't know if you ever looked at like LinkedIn Learning. There's a lot of great stuff there. Service Nation Alliance, for instance, they have lots of videos on management and accounts payable and this and that, that you can get some education, just something to make sure that you're doing some sort of, training and make sure everyone's heading the right direction. And I'll say this, for installation of air conditioning, ACCA has the most comprehensive installation of air conditioning system there is out there. It's beautiful. It's great. If you just did that, you'd be the best in your market. Go get it and just start using it and you're done, right? PHCC has all these resources for the plumbing side. Again, their standards and how you do it. And you just take that stuff and adopt it. Make it yours.
Shout out to all those organizations.
Right. You're welcome.
Well, and speaking of organizations, we sent over one of our leaders to MAPS.
Oh, you did?
He's there right now.
Oh,
he's
good.
In California, yep, doing that. So thank you for that referral to make him a better leader. I would say that I'm seeing more and more individual companies creating their own schools. And I might be using that term loosely. It might be more of training than it is a school, but they're trying to make it a school. But I've seen some that are really progressive and kind of creating their own school. And I'm talking like bringing in people who have zero knowledge and then trying to train them in like a four-month, probably hammer it. And then there's got to be ongoing training because no way you're learning all that stuff in 4 months. But we're seeing success with it with some of our own customers, which is great because now there's no longer this – hey, pause your campaign because I don't have enough technicians to run the leads, which is obviously great for business. But I say that because I'm seeing it more and more. What I hear you saying is, well, some people can't even do that. They're not ready to do that. They may not have the skill set to do it or the money to do it or whatever it is. They're not ready to do it yet. So there are alternative options that you can do and lean on that until you can create your own school. Do you think that's the best thing that you should be at some point in time? Do you think like, hey, the best way for you to be successful to bring in your own tech, especially with the shortage in skilled technicians, is to create your own school? Or even if it's like a minor training program that you have where you've kind of got a process in place for it, do you think that's better than the alternative?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just hard to do. And you got to have the bandwidth to do it. Lots of factors.
But it's not, you know, just do something. How about that? Do something other than just, you know, hire somebody, put them in a truck and hope for the best. Right. That's not a good plan, right? You know,
it's not good for client fulfillment.
Yeah. You know, like I've done things like you get some old guy that's been in the industry all his life and he's retired and you know, he doesn't have maybe he has physical limitations. He can't do the work, but you know, he just wants something to do and he's on Social Security or his military retirement or something. And you say, you know, if I make any money one day, I'll give you some, you know, something. just show up and help me. You know, I've done that and that's works. You know, you just have to know. I cannot put an employee out to talk to touch one of my customers until I know they have some level of competence that I approve.
Because that
to protect my brand.
That employee is a rep, and that employee is an example of you.
Yeah, I'll never forget this time. I don't know, 25, just started my business. And I, you know, I did I did exactly what I'm telling you not to do. You know, I hired a guy, sent him out, and it was just a messed up customer's home some way. And the guy came over and he said, you know, Ken, your company is only as good as the weakest link in the eyes of the customer, right? So if the customer sees one bad guy, but you have 50 great guys, but one guy comes to their house, in their mind, the whole company's bad. Mm-hmm. And that really resonated with me. You got to be very, very careful about this. We're not, you know, in what we're doing, because we're home service contractors, we're in people's homes, we're not in construction. You know, construction can be a little more raw and, you know, less sensitive. You follow me?
I follow you, Ken.
Okay.
A little less sensitive. That was a very PC way.
A little less sensitive. You follow me, Wendy?
Follow me, Wendy? Oh, boy. TP, you have anything else before I start to close out?
I just want to know what the next 1,000 days look like. And you can tell me about each of those days, or you can tell me
really
what it looks like 1,000 days from now.
Well,
day one,
I got to decide. Got to decide what the mission is. I figured I'd get that. I'm going to work on that on the 15th. We're going to work on that. Say, okay, what are we going to accomplish? Got to start with a B, right? So, what are the building blocks that I need to do there? What's the investments? What are the key building blocks I need to install in the business? What are the investments of those things? What talent do I need to add? Anything I need to fix, and when do those milestones happen, and then you start working the plan. But now I always try to beat the last one, so it's going to be, you know, 999 days or less. I'm going to try, and then, you know, the number's going to be bigger, and I'm going to see how far across the U.S. I can get. We're stuck in Austin right now.
Stuck. The billion building blocks. Okay. That's what he was saying.
But listen, for everybody,
I
can't stress this enough. Every time I've done one of these deals, I set one of these goals. We have a title for it. I had one that was our 2020 plan, which was make $20 million in 20 months, and this one, that one. And so we have this vernacular that's going on that keeps everybody focused on the goal. So, you know, you look at your business, you say, okay, what do we want to accomplish in this amount of time? What are the key things I need to get there? What's the title of it? And you keep everybody heading out in that road. And you can do it. I've done it.
And you're going to do it again.
Otherwise, you just show up in business. You just show up, open the door every morning, and hope for the best. You hope that somehow good fortune will rain upon you, which that doesn't sound like a great plan, does it?
That doesn't sound like a great plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Right.
Well, listen, again, congratulations on, really everything up to this point, too, and what's to come, because I know that it's going to be successful again on your path to the B's, in the B's category. But it's exciting, man. It's exciting to I've seen the last few years of being a little bit closer to you and understanding kind of what's going on and seeing the growth of it and seeing the actual execution take place and things like that. So it's cool to kind of feel like I'm a little bit part of that journey in the story, which is neat. It's just cool to watch it play itself out and then for you to be able to make an announcement, you know, today on the show, which, by the way, again, for the listeners who don't know, Kim was our first actual guest on the To The Point podcast almost 2 years ago now.
That's right.
That's crazy. Almost 2 years ago. So it's pretty cool that he's able to make that announcement on here too. We're going to roll this thing out next week. So again, congrats, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Proud. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Thanks, don't ever call me Wendy again though. Deal. So listen, listeners, that is part four of our four-part series with seven centers of management attention. Again, part one, episode number 81, part two, episode 85, part three, 89. Listen, if you don't know anything, start there. Start with this four-part series to start to build a foundation for your business and at least give you some good guidance. And you got to get it all right to start to get a little bit of it right and then get a little bit more and a little bit more. So keep on working on the list, but you got to do the work. You got to create the checklist. You can't keep running through business like just with your fingers crossed, hoping it all goes right. You got to start to put some things in place. And even though it takes a lot of time to do those things, it's also a lot worse if you got to fix all the mess ups that come along with
it. Yeah. And let me jump on that one thing you said. It takes a lot of time. That's your job. Right. You don't want to, the day that you decide to hang your shingle up and be in business, your job is to create systems for your people to follow, to deliver to the service, the client, to fulfill the contracts that you've created for your clients and make them happy. That's your job. Create the systems, train them, and hold them accountable to that. Not sell stuff, not market stuff, not be all the other nonsense you get involved in. Your job is to lead those systems and lead the people to follow those systems.
Sell comfort.
There you go.
Ghettoizing the nation. It's on the way. KG, I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, man.
Always coming on here, delivering fire every time you're on. I don't even know how many it's been now, but every time it's still good. I know you asked me, I think it was last night, hey, man, how's this series doing? It's doing phenomenal. And it's because it's good stuff. And it's all proven stuff that you've done. And it's just that if you listeners can please take action, don't just take the notes. You know, don't just think you're going to do it. Don't just talk about it. Actually take action. And if you try it and mess it up, hey, try it again. Maybe change the way you did it, but try it again. And if you continue to have issues, I think what we've heard thousands of times is that so many people are willing to help you work through it, but you got to be vulnerable enough to ask. You got to be vulnerable enough to admit that you messed up, maybe drop your pride a little bit and go ask. It's not the softest industry, but I think we've seen it getting a little bit softer in ways that people are really wanting to help everybody, one another, with their own peers in the group, which is super awesome to see, Ken included. So it's been neat to see, isn't it, Paul, like neat to see not only Ken like kind of shift over the last 2 years, like the changes that have happened to him, not obviously not just physically, but like his whole like energy, and like it's been really neat for me to witness it all and be a part of it, and it's genuine. So I'm excited for you, man, and I'm excited for what's next for you. And listeners, hopefully, again, you take notes and you start to put them in place. I promise you, if you take the things that Ken has taught you on this podcast and put them in place and do it again and again and start to create these systems and processes, read the damn book, The E-Myth, HVAC Contractor, if you need to, and then study it, highlight it. Ken read it like 452 times. I might have exaggerated that. Point Ken, is that
read you it. You just reminded me. I just hired a coach for my business, a software coach, and he refers back to reading the book to getting his start and getting his life together at, you know, 20 years old.
Love it. That's what I read in the beginning. E-Myth. So again, Congratulations, man. And listeners, again, man, we are so grateful every time you listen to these things and you leave reviews for us. It makes me and Tall Paul so happy. And even the listeners that are a part of that particular episode, they love being mentioned in it too. But we're just grateful. Obviously, continue to share this stuff amongst your peers, you know, whether across the United States, Canada, Australia, wherever. We actually have, those are our three top countries that we're in right now, with Australia really on the heels of Canada, which blows me away. Our listeners, pretty cool.
We need Canadian guests. We need to make that happen quickly. I like
talking to the Australian tradesmen because they have such proper English, right? It's like talking to a dignitary, but they're a plumber, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting to me. Like they speak very so well. And so, you know,
if you have an accent, You already get like a one up.
I know, you're already cool.
You're already right? cool. It's not even fair. So, like normal, I will go ahead and finish with the review that a customer had left for us, or a listener left for us. And this is from, oh,
good luck with that.
My goodness.
Mr. or Mrs. Murphy.
Iffy Jean. Iffy oh. Jean. I think that might it's be it. Iffy Jean is. Really, Paul? Iffy Jean Murphy, thank you so much for your 5-star review. It says, great info week after week. I'm not a client. Oh, so they're not a client. Just a listener. And I'm in a different industry than Chris serves, but I get something out of the podcast each and every episode. That's been happening more and more, too, Tall Paul, which is cool because there are more and more people reaching out to us asking for guests from these particular industries, which is not something I think we're going to do anytime soon, but you never know. But we're certainly grateful for the podcast, and I'm glad that you're getting something from it, Iffy Jean. And if I butchered your name, I apologize. If I did, it's because that's how Paul told me to say it. If it's right, it was totally
think you
me.
Did great.
Thank you very much. And listen up, Rhino X is coming, and KG is going to be there again. It's going to be in February of next year. So the benefit of Rhino X that I've tried to stay, even as we're going into the second one, is to keep it small enough to be intimate and comfortable for somebody to approach you and spend time with you. I mean, think about how much meaningful time you get to spend with contractors of all shapes and sizes at the last one, because we kept it small. And the like, you can see some of the people like Amanda Triolo from Grasshopper kind of make these big leaps and bounds. And she's like, hey, you sat me right next to Ken Goodrich. You got to spend time with Ken Goodrich. And she took some of the things you said, went back and implemented them in her business. And she's kind of on a rocket ship. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That. Like and that's what we want to continue with it by keeping it small. It's not inexpensive, but if you look at it from like just a straight, you know, expense perspective, but it will scale your business because now you're getting put in the room with the best of the best and you get to spend time with them.
Well, listen, everything that I've pulled together in this whole industry is being involved, like going to these events, being part of the organizations, fellowshipping with other contractors. So it's very important. I think it's very important for everybody in the business to do. You don't know everything and there's different perspectives and opportunities that pop up. But I still remember it was, I don't know, it was 25, struggling, ready to kind of throw in the towel maybe. And I went to, I saw that ACCA had a convention in San Antonio and I had my last, $1,000 and I went. And I was just ready to be done. But I sat next to a guy at a meeting and we started talking and he kind of helped me out. And then I met a few other guys. By the time I left, I was reinvigorated by the business. We had established some connections. We started helping each other and, I moved forward from that. So, it's very important. It doesn't matter what it costs. You got to go do it. It's a part of you, part of your growth, part of doing business. You got to get involved.
Yeah. But don't just go for the pictures.
Yeah.
Don't just go for the pictures. You got to get, I say that because I've witnessed it, and man, you took the time to go, took the time to be away from family to try and do better for you, your employees, your own family. My goodness, take action once you leave. So
no, I'm the guy. I'm the guy who goes to those things and sits in the front center row. Front and center.
You are always involved. Anything I go with you, you ask questions. You just don't look like you're very happy until today. Actually, yesterday. As of yesterday, he sits in these meetings and smiles.
That's how my face looks. I don't know. It's like a dolphin. Like a dolphin looks like they're smiling, but you know they're not smiling, right?
Resting KG face. Okay. Let me go ahead and squash this thing. We're 60 minutes a little over an hour into it too.
Part two.
This is it, man. This was the end of the 4-part series. We got it done. That's a wrap. Well
done. All right, man. We got it done. Hey, and I hope we kind of gave the team a whole overview on how I've looked at it anyway and organize and compartmentalize challenges. And that's what I did. Not saying it's the only way, not saying it's the best way, but that's what I did.
It's a way that seems to be okay. Seems like it might've worked out just fine.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listeners, man, we appreciate you all so much. Again, go ahead and I'm sure KG would love to hear a little review from you. If you send it over, we'll make sure we send it over to him. So that way he can check it out. But we appreciate you so much. Tall Paul, unless there's anything else from you, I say it's time we bounce. You ready?
Thank you both.
Listeners, let's we appreciate it. You all so much. KG, thank you so much. Until next time, we'll see you. Welcome to To the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.